De Florenzi, eccolo il cross tagliato di testa, Keita, gol! Il magnifico rettore!
Live!
Boom, boom, check, check, the room!
In the entertainment capital of the world!
What a strike! What a goal! What a comeback! What a game! There are no words to describe it!
It's the TC Martin Show!
Léger hors-jeu, mais cette fois-ci, il n'y en a pas pour Marco Reus! Très fort devant le but!
Your daily prescription from the doctor, TC Martin.
Largo pifio, Messi la tiene, Messi. Ahí está Iniesta. Gol! Cerebro Iniesta.
The doctor is now in.
Glad to have you with us here on this thunderous Thursday. People say, why is it thunderous Thursday? It's a beautiful day. It's beautiful weather here. Well, it's because we delivered a little thunder here with our attitude, I guess, so to speak, right? On a thunderous Thursday. Do I got any attitude today? Yeah, I do. Talk a little Major League Baseball. Vent some frustrations. So thunderous Thursday can also be kind of like a terrible Tuesday, I would think, right? Glad to have you with us here on this Thursday edition of the TC Martin Show. Of course, streaming live, tcmartinshow.com. Today, we got all the sports covered today, right? Baseball, basketball, football, hockey. You're going to cover it all for you here today. NFL schedule release just hours away, even though we know that this thing got leaked like a sieve, and it does every year. You know, ESPN wants to have their gala and their show, so you kind of deserve it, don't you? I mean, you're going to, you know, hype it all up. There's going to be leakage out there. You would think between the NFL offices in New York and ESPN, they could get this thing right and really try to curtail it back. I don't understand really why the leakage is. Seriously. Can't you just swear everyone to secrecy? Do something like that? I don't know. It's just so funny because they hype it up, 5 o'clock, unveil it. And then 70% of the public already knows the games. You know, you already know the opponents. You already know which games are home, which games are away. So what's the big deal? Oh, because we have to have an event. You know, we do it for the draft. We do it for all the drafts. We do it all for the specialty programming. You know who we blame for this? We blame LeBron James. Anytime we can find a blame for LeBron James, that's a good time to do it, right? Remember the decision when he had the decision? Where's he going to go play? Come on, Chris Bosh. Come on, Dwayne Wade. Yeah, let's get the fireworks going. That was the most uneventful pseudo-event of all time. Nunchuck, do you know what a pseudo-event is? I love using the pseudo-event. That's not actually not it. No, we're not talking about locker rooms today. That was yesterday or Tuesday. What day? It was Tuesday. That's right. Speaking of which, Tuesday. Well, I'll save this for our next guest. Anyway, yeah. See, don't do that. You're going to get me all sidetracked again here. I don't need that. See, there you go. Where am I going? Bob Nightingale is going to join us today. Do not do that when Bob's on. Okay? The astute writer, the Pulitzer Prize winning writer, Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Talk a little Major League Baseball with him. Scott Spritzer will join us next hour. Handicapping the NBA playoffs and more. Your boy B. Sal's going to join us today as well. He's going to jump on in as we talk everything Las Vegas here. And yeah, and we'll talk NFL. You know, now would be a good time to get T.J. Reeves on. All right? So yeah, get T.J. Reeves on. And because I think he would appreciate this next story. Because I know you guys love when I do storytelling, right? So I go in to, obviously, one of my favorite places, kind of one of my lunch rituals today, right? I go to Freddy's. And again, I have an idea what I'm going to get today. You know, as you know, when I go to Freddy's, it's usually going to be the Chicago dog with the mustard and grilled onions. Okay. Or it's going to be the Pepper Jack burger. I go with that. And now that the Chop House is on the menu too. The Chop House burger. Outstanding, you know, with the sauce, with the mushrooms. Real good. So that's kind of like my rotation. You know, creature of habit is people that know me know that. So anyway, I walk into Freddy's today. And I don't know what the look or the demeanor I had on, but I walk straight to the counter and I see a new gentleman who is working at one of the locations at Freddy's today. What do you say, Nunchuck?
It was me, right? I started working there.
No, you want a job there, but they won't take your application. You can't pass the drug test. So there you go. I know. you don't want to hit the drum for yourself there? No.
Nope.
I don't know what that was. Anyway, are you getting around my story here? Okay, you already did. Well, what is this music you got going here?
It's story
time. Am I on hold of the story time? Okay, that's good. That's good. Also, I really appreciated the music in Freddy's today, and I'll get to that. That's part two of the story. So like I said, I get up to the counter, and it's a new gentleman I could tell is working there. He's an older gentleman, and he says, "How you doing today, sir? What can I get for you?" So right there, I detect a British accent. Even though my British accent isn't very good. Nunchuck's already just, he's putting his hands over his face like, you know, something's going to happen here, right? And the first thing the gentleman says, I said, "How are you doing?" He goes, "You look like a man that knows exactly what he wants." And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do, sir. Yes. Go ahead. Give me the hot dog combo, grilled onions and mustard, please." Oh, that's a good choice. Yes, I know it is. Then they always ask you, would you like to make it a combo? Well, yes, I said the hot dog combo, no problem. And they go through all that with you, right? And very good. So I get it. And I said, he asked me about my hot dog, about grillings and mustard. I had this look on his face. And I said, he goes, "You sure you don't want anything else on that? Like ketchup or anything?" And I go, whoa. I said, "That is sacrilegious." And he looked at me like I had three heads, and he says, what do you mean? And I said, "Ketchup does not belong on a hot dog. It does not belong on a hot dog, especially a Vienna all beef hot dog and a Chicago dog." And he says to me, he goes, "Okay, well, yeah, I could see that on a hot dog, but I do like ketchup on mine." So because I'm being nice, and I do represent this company, and obviously this guy's new on the job, I didn't want to insult him, but what I wanted to say is, what, are we six? Ketchup doesn't go on hot dogs if you're a grown adult, especially one from Chicago. At any rate, as I digress. So he puts in the order, this, that, and I said, "Hey, I noticed your accent there." And I go, "Where are you from?" And he says, "England." And I go, "Oh, great." So I go, "Tottenham." He looks at me, goes, "What did you say?" I go, "Tottenham." And he goes, "Tottenham Hotspurs." I go, "Exactly." He goes, "That's my team." I said, "Well, of course it is." He goes, "How did you know that?" I go, "I just know these things." He goes, "You are a very perceptive man. You know what you want when you walk in the building. And now you know that I'm from Tottenham." And he begins to tell me, as the line now, you know, starts to grow behind me, about how his father took him to a Tottenham game, a Hotspur game back in the day, and that was his team. And I said, "Ah." And so I introduced myself, and the manager came over and introduced me, actually. So I told him that this is TC. And I said, "What is your name?" And he goes, "My name is Paul." And I go, "Paul Stewart," making a joke like I do, right? "What does he say? How did you know my last name?" "Yes, Paul Stewart from Tottenham is working at Freddy's. You can't make this stuff up." As I bring in our good friend TJ Reeves now, I thought you would enjoy this part of the story time. What are the odds? What are the odds our good friend Paul Buck Power Stewart is moonlighting at Freddy's in Las Vegas?
First of all, it's good to be with you, I think. Second of all, I wasn't sure if you were going to land the plane. And so now you're telling me that my man Paul Stewart from England is actually moonlighting as a counter worker at the Freddy's in Nevada.
Well, in name only. Obviously, it's not the Paul Stewart, but it is. So then, as I start to eat my hot dog and devour it today, because delicious, you know, Chicago dog, of course, and I really enjoyed the music at Freddy's. So while I'm dining today, we had Donna Summer going, which was great. Yeah, had a little hot stuff going, and then that was followed by Black Eyed Peas. Let's get it started
okay.
in here, right?
Okay.
And
all
so
right.
so the other Paul Stewart comes over, and he goes, "How's your meal? How's everything going today?" And I go, "Splendid, my friend." And I said, "I'm really quite enjoying the music here myself." And he goes, "Oh," he goes, "I'm a 50s man myself." And I said, "Okay, so that's good." I said, "I can appreciate the 50." He goes, "Oh, yes."
He would have had such a better punchline if you had said his name was Paul McCartney.
Well,
and then the Beatles were playing in the background. You could have lied and made that part up.
Really? I thought the Paul Stewart thing was really good. But anyway.
No, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny inside joke for you and me. But
yes.
For the public at large,
right.
His name was Paul McCartney, and they were playing Let It Be or something. That
No. But see, that's not where we're going here. Where we're going is, so he's going back. He goes, "I'm a 50s guy," is what he's saying, right? He's a 50s guy, and he says, "The whole reason that I applied at Freddy's," now, I don't know, TJ, if you've been into a Freddy's or not before, but the decor is kind of throwback, you know, 50s, 60s-ish, like the old malt shop routine. So the whole reason that this elder gentleman from England, who's been in the United States for 13 years, applied at Freddy's because he appreciated the decor. And it was a 50s throwback for him. So he starts telling me about his likes of 50s and his movie choices. He goes, "I'm a big fan of Grease." So then I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm a fan of American Graffiti." He goes, "Oh, you're more of the 60s. Yes, and this and that." And, of course, out of what 50s song, and we might have to bring on someone else here, guess what 50s artist that he came with? I said, "What do you like?" Nunchuck knows where I'm going with this. None other than Chubby Checker. Where are you, Bill Cartwright, when I need you? So I tie all this in today. I had a wonderful I had a wonderful lunch, and I thought it was really kind of weird and strange that that Cartwright and TJ Reeves came into my world today. Can't you understand the, what's the word? Ironicy? I don't think there's such a word. But how ironic this is.
That's a word, Don King.
It's
not. That is definitely not a word.
That's made in America. Made in America. All right. There you go. TJ Reeves, you did not appreciate my story.
I brought the Chubby Checker right on cue. Nice job, Nunchuck.
Oh, jeez. All right. We can fade to black anytime you want, even though it's a TV term. There you go. TJ Reeves, what's going on, my friend?
Listen, you know, I'm always.
This guy really is a deadbeat. I mean, he just really brought. He didn't appreciate my story. He gave me no one-liners to go with it. I mean, I don't know what's going on with you over there. You know, TJ,
well,
if you're asleep,
I understand fully that the Stanley Cup playoffs are a foreign concept in the Las Vegas market because the Knights didn't make it.
Oh.
But we got pivotal game six coming up tonight, Lightning and the Leafs trying to stay alive in a couple of hours. And so forgive me if I'm a bit distracted by that while you're telling me about the English guy that served you a hot dog that loves Chubby Checker. It's not quite the same.
Chuck, did I do a bad job of delivering the story?
No.
See, no, I didn't. There it is. And I'll tell you what, TJ Reeves, I think more people will care about that story than the Stanley Cup playoffs right now because, like you said, the Golden Knights have disappeared.
The Golden Knights checked out of the hotel about 2 weeks ago. I understand that. But we have that going on 3,000 miles away.
Wait, these guys aren't playing either.
Tonight.
The Bloody Blackhawks? Yeah, I guess so. They are. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
No, the Blackhawks aren't alive in the playoffs either.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. See?
So, anyway, we have that going on.
The Lightning.
Tonight.
Oh, this is the Lightning. No, this sounds like a Blackhawks ripoff. Did the Lightnings rip off the Blackhawks? Sounds like it to me. Yeah,
I don't think the two-time defending Tampa Bay Lightning have to rip anybody off right now.
All right, go ahead, my friend. Go ahead. Yes.
But in any event, we have that going on. We have the schedule release happening. And at this point, I do not know what to believe, Doctor, other than what has already been officially confirmed by the NFL, which is the Buccaneers are playing in Germany, Guten Tag with the Seattle Seahawks in November in Week 10. And they are now confirmed to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. I don't know if Nunchuck has the Sunday Night Football theme at the ready on his fingertips. on his jukebox there. He had Chubby Checker ready to go for you.
Yeah, he did.
But anyway,
yeah.
Sunday Night Football, Chiefs-Buccaneers is week four. NBC confirmed that today on the Today Show with the NFL. So we have that. Listen to Nunchuck. Nunchuck is outstanding.
Of course he is. Of course. I mean,
so that is
everyone wants to grow up to be
Sunday
a Nunchuck.
Sunday Night Football, there might be a couple of people to tune in to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, Raymond James Stadium. I have a feeling the Buccaneers will be on a couple of more times. Now, see, here we're at the point a couple of hours from the schedule release where I don't know what to believe. At this point, Doctor, I don't know what to believe. I would probably believe that the Buccaneers are playing a two-game series with the Minnesota Twins in Guam right about now. I don't know what to believe. I'm crossed up every
week. See, here's the thing that kills me with all this stuff. There are guys, they're doing radio shows right now in television specials.
Right.
And they're going through the win-loss game already. Can't you, Ham and Eggers, wait and for the schedule to officially be released? Oh, I'm getting a jump on it, and we're playing one. Literally, there are guys doing the win-loss game already. Let the NFL have their pomp and circumstance and their parade, okay? Let them deliver it at 5 o'clock. If you want to try to be the first to have a podcast tonight, then go ahead and do it bloody well. Or do it tomorrow or the next day. Who cares? Seriously, I mean, I'm like you. It's just like, I'm not even beginning to think about, this. Who cares? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, line it up the week of. I'm ready to go.
As you know, I've got the wife. I've got the 14-year-old twin daughters who you've met. Nunchuck's met them as well. Met them last summer when we flew, by the way, 3,000 miles out to Las Vegas just before game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, anticipating that it would be the Lightning against the Vegas Golden Knights. Only to have the Golden Knights blow it and not host game one, and it's game one is back in Tampa while we're in Vegas.
There is no purpose to throw more shade on the lowly Golden Knights right now. Stop.
Shade is deserved at this point.
Yes.
Shade is deserved at this point. But I'm just pointing out, Nunchuck got to meet the Twins, too, back then. But there is vested interest here in whether or not they are getting to go to Germany or not, which I continue to relay that means that if that's the case, and with the cost factor, because they're not on the arm, they're not on the Buccaneer comp list, then that means I'm working the season for free, Doctor, which we don't want to do that. And then where are we if we're somewhere on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? That's a concern. So we're just trying to figure all this stuff out when the schedule gets released later tonight. But I'm with you. I'm okay if I had to find out, like, tomorrow or
so we do know.
Monday.
We do know, TJ Reeves, that the Buccaneers are going to Germany. Bayern Munich, München, Einschwein, Liechtenstein, Schweinsteiger. Yes, I told Paul Stewart a couple weeks ago because I had him on. I said, I need to be part of that baggage or whatever that is.
Right,
someone's got to get me on a plane to go to Germany to go see this.
What exactly are the stops from Las Vegas to Munich? I'm thinking that you're probably going to have to go through, like, at least Dallas, if not Atlanta.
It's usually New York. Yeah, it's usually
then London, then Geneva. What else have you got on your stops there to get to Munich before maybe Berlin Munich?
When I went to Frankfurt, it was a stop in New York. And, yeah, it was a straight shot from New York to Frankfurt.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, I didn't get a chance to spend enough time there. And, again, you know, on my bucket list is going to a Bundesliga game or a German national game. And I guess the third thing on my bucket list would be a distant third, my friend, would be going to an NFL game there in Munich or anywhere there in Germany. Not England, not Barcelona, but, no, in Germany. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going there. We know that for a fact, right? Now, I assume, yes, you are traveling. You're going. Could it be you on the field, Paul Buckpower Stewart, doing the broadcast in another booth, and then with your legendary man, Gene the Dancing Machine, in the other booth?
That's right. Well, Paul Stewart might have an Interpol situation that could prohibit him from entering the country there in Germany. I just kid. I kid for Mr. Buckpower. So who knows if he's going to be there? Because I asked him, I said, isn't that, if you were to take they call it the tube, which is the high-speed train, can't you get there? He says, it's still 3 or 4 hours on the tube, mate, is what he tells me. So it apparently takes a little while to get there, if that's the case. But, yeah, we're looking forward to that one in November. And, again, I believe the Buccaneers are going to be in prime time probably 5 times, maybe 6 times before this is all said and done. So I'm anxious to see Thursday nights, Monday nights, Sunday nights. What are they doing? So we're all going to find out together coming up about this. But, yes, it is going to be interesting and different. The first ever NFL regular season game in Germany. They have played an exhibition game there at one point, and they did play those old NFL Europe games in Frankfurt and Berlin. They had teams in the old World League or NFL Europe. This will be the first time for a regular season game, my friend.
All right, look forward to that. He is TJ Reeves. He is Mr. Buccaneers. Let's talk about this. All right, are we even sure that Tom Brady is going to be accompanying that team as a player? Because as we know, he's joining Fox. He's already made up his mind. He is the lead NFL analyst, and he's going to be teamed with Kevin Burkhart on the number one broadcast team. No definitive date. But Fox says the deal is good for Tom whenever he is finished with his playing career, be it next year, the year after, the year after. But you got to believe, TJ, this has got to be the swan song. When you already ink a $375 million television deal that, you know, and I'm curious to see, you know, no one will say this or whatever, but, you know, once training camp gets going to the season going, I mean, there's always this talk about, well, you know, does an aging quarterback have one foot out the door? This guy has to have more than he's got 9 of his 10 toes out the door already because he's got a $375 million cushy job waiting for him when he's all said and done. And as Brady said, he tweeted out, I'm very excited to eventually join Fox, but noted that he still have a lot of unfinished business here as a player. And that's good, but have you ever seen anything like this? And, you know,
no.
It's crazy.
The answer is no. Well, first of all, that's T.C. Martin type money for the galactically famous T.C. Martin show to be talking about $375 million. And I don't know how accurate that number is because this just into the newsroom. We do have breaking news, Dumb Chuck. This just into the newsroom. Agents often lie about the contracts
the show,
they got for their clients. Yeah. So just be careful with that number being floated out there by an agent. I assume he's gotten a boatload of money to do this. But I don't know if it's close to $400 million, which is literally like triple of what he's going to make in salary this year. Because he kind of he manipulated his contract to help the Buccaneers with the salary cap so they could sign some players, including Gronk eventually. So he's only going to make like $14 million this year. So we're to believe he's then going to make $35, $37 million to do TV. It does seem a bit ridiculous. And here's the thing that's being kicked around here is, okay, let's say the Buccaneers make the playoffs, but they lose prior to the Super Bowl. Fox has the Super Bowl this year, Doctor.
Right.
So is
right.
Tom Brady going to potentially work the Super Bowl after having played in the season and played in the playoffs? And if you're Fox, you would want that, but how crazy would that scenario be?
Where are we at right now? Are we at Hillsborough County Fair with this music? Is that where we're at right now? Is Doug in the right? Hillsborough County? Is that right? In there,
yes,
Tampa?
Look at, correct,
look at that
correct,
memory
yes.
that I have there. I remember that because I remember you talking about the Mounties or the police there during the
that's
boat
correct,
parade.
Yes,
look
the Mounted Police, the Hillsborough County dive team in case the Lombardi Trophy ended up at the bottom of the Hillsborough River in the boat parade. Yes, very good.
Hey, speaking about what is that river there they call it? What's the name of that
the
river?
Hillsborough River.
Okay.
It's the Hillsborough River, yes.
Is there a sighting of any Tampa Bay Rays batters at the bottom of that river after flailing helplessly against Hammond Egg Reed Detmers? What is wrong with you people? You cannot hit Reed Detmers, this career Hammond Egg relief pitcher. It
look,
is
look,
oh, terrible.
All right,
pathetic.
We should have known on Saturday when the 80-1 shot, Rich Strike won the Kentucky Derby, this was going to be a weird week because you're right. What did you tell me? This clown for the Angels had never pitched beyond the fifth inning?
Correct.
You told me that off the air. You were like,
yes.
You were like texting me, calling me. How are you getting no hit by this guy?
Yes.
Because he had never been past the fifth inning.
Yes.
Okay, I buy that. It's embarrassing. But the Rays turn around and score like 5 or 6 runs off of Ohtani yesterday in the getaway game.
It's
so
baseball.
How do you explain that?
I know.
I don't
baseball.
Know how we explain this week. It's been crazy.
It's crazy. It is. It is baseball. Are your Tampa Bay Lightning, are they done? Because I know you were panicking there, you know, going back to the hockey. You were panicking there about 4 or 5 days ago. Are they done?
They're not done yet. They got a chance tonight to even the series up, and then anything can happen in Game 7. And let's bear in mind, I know there were no fans in the arenas, but Toronto blew Game 6 in Montreal and then Game 7 at home to Montreal. No fans in the arena. So let's, and it's basically the same team with the same goalie. So if the Lightning get this one tonight for Saturday night winner take all game seven, do not count the two-time champions out for sneaking out game seven out of Toronto and breaking Canada's heart again. By the way, the Maple Leafs have not won a playoff series since 2004, 18 years and counting since they've won any series of any kind in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So they have that pressure mounting on them. Let's see what happens tonight.
So just take this home with you, my friend, okay? Brady's NFL salary that he's accumulated over his 23 seasons is $333 million. He's going to get $375 over 10 years. There you go.
If that number is true, then he will have made more money in that to talk about the games, which is what your point is.
That is my point. And remember here, okay, precedence has been set here for guys like Tom Brady with no broadcasting experience whatsoever that Tony Romo, remember, signed a huge deal with CBS. You're right after, and this didn't happen, of course, while he was playing, but the moment he was done, boom, CBS made him the number one team with Jim Nantz, right? Drew Brees worked with NBC last year after 20 seasons in the NFL. So boom, signed with NBC just like that. And, of course, we've gotten the Peyton and Eli Manning cast that has happened now with ESPN, Monday Night Football. Unfortunately, I think this is a trend that we are going to see more and more of, my friend, where these guys have got their foot already out the door at just astronomical salaries.
Well, it does make everybody question and wonder, is this it? Is this it? He has not said that this will be the final season, but I'm with you if you have that kind of deal, and plus they have the Super Bowl this year, as to whether they will go ahead and just kickstart his broadcasting career if the Bucs are not playing there. So we'll see as the season goes on. Those questions will persist about, is this your last year? Are you going to do TV immediately here in the postseason? All of that will be for later in the year. But if you're him and you're the Buccaneers, you want to just keep winning games as the season unfolds, and maybe you're actually playing in the Super Bowl. And then maybe Fox might have him mic'd up for an occasional comment, right? What does $375 million buy you, doctor? So maybe you got a player mic'd up. This is what the USFL's doing, right? They're interviewing, and NASCAR does it too, and baseball does it sometimes where they interview guys during the game. So maybe they can interview Tom Brady during the Super Bowl.
So what you're telling me here, T.J. Reeves, is Fox has a Super Bowl this year, right? Okay? And this means, are you telling me it's true? That means we get no Joe Buck for the Super Bowl? Yes! Oh, let us rejoice. Let football fans rejoice. Does that mean Kevin Burkhardt is going to get the Super Bowl call?
That's correct.
Wow.
And it's unknown whether Tom Brady would be with him or not, and we believe that Greg Olsen, who's been with Kevin Burkhardt the last two seasons, is going to be there, and maybe it's a three-man booth. We don't know. We'll find out.
That's crazy. All right, my man, we'll let you get to dinner because I know it's dinner time there. But hopefully you can have yourself a good old-fashioned Vienna all-beef hot dog if you can find one there in the Tampa area. I know you guys are probably relegated to Nathan's.
We are looking at several different options this evening. It will not be burritos tonight, but it could be chicken wings. What is the doctor's chicken wing of choice, by the way, with the sauce? Which one?
Oh, the barbecue all the way. Yes. Yes.
Yes, for that.
I do like a barbecue or plain.
Don't like the garlic parm better? You don't like the...
It's okay. You
not
know,
so much.
Again, you got to remember, I've relegated myself to Blue Ribbon there inside the Cosmopolitan, which I've shared with you, the best chicken wings on the planet. And they got the little hint of that little wasabi dusting.
I do remember you had alligator arms when the bill came around. I do remember that, but we did get you taken care of.
Wait. Let's time out, rewind. Let's stand by for a moment. My friend, no alligator arms. As you know, and many people know, the doctor treats all of his guests at Blue Ribbon, but this was a T.J. Reeves invitation.
Correct.
So
that's
the
correct.
Gall of you to say that I had alligator arms
invited me. Let me confirm to the audience, I did roll the carpet out for the doctor because we were celebrating a Lightning Game 1 win in the Stanley Cup. Not against the Las Vegas Golden Knights, but against the Montreal Canadiens. So I did extend the red carpet to you, and I had no problem picking up the tab there that night. And let's see if the Lightning get it done tonight. Let's see if there's some good mojo from being on the T.C. Martin Show here tonight.
There you go.
And then we will find out what the NFL schedules are this evening and progress on with our lives somehow, some way after that, my friend.
All right, my friend. Enjoy your hockey and your wings or whatever you dive into. And happy anniversary to the Reeves,
yes.
Especially Miss Jennifer. How she has put up with you is beyond me. But then again, that's why you're minding your P's and Q's, trying to make sure that you don't upset the apple cart, the Christmas plans or whatever, because you know that she could boot you out like an old Martin Gramatica field goal in a heartbeat.
A lot of people, you're in Vegas, a lot of people had the under, but we're at 26 years. A lot of people had the under, but we've made it, my friend. Thank you for the well wishes.
There you go, brother. Be good. I'll talk to you later. And
all right, boys.
Happy day, happy day and weekend to the Twins as well. There you go. Not the Minnesota Twins, the Reeves Twins. All right, there we go. A TJ Reeves segment that will encompass all kinds of nonsense, from food to hockey to who knows what. Wow. And I was ready to reciprocate with him next time he came to town. I'm having second thoughts about reciprocation now. I mean, the guy invites me. He says, I'm taking you to dinner. We're doing all that. So, okay, you sure? That's fine. Where do you want to go? Get, you know, Cosmopolitan. Which, you know, I said, the Blue Ribbon's great. Let's go. Great, great, great. And what do I, 6 months later, 7 months later, I get to hear alligator arms when he invited me to dinner? Wow. That's craziness. That's not how I roll. Have you ever paid for a meal with me, Nunchuck? Have you ever gone to the wallet with me?
No.
There you go. See, there you go. And Nunchuck can put it away, too. There it is. I miss those lunches back in the day, or the post show with you and Frank. We'd go hit it hard over there. I know you miss it, too. Instead, you know, you're just rolling around with Harvey Hyde now. I don't know. Yeah, after the show. Bob Nightingale is going to join us next with USA Today, and we talk MLB.
I do exactly what I want to do.
It's the Dr. T.C. Martin.
You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
The doctor is now in.
All right, come on by and join us at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, our Friday home. Be right back there tomorrow. Double B, Brian Benowitz, Marco D'Angelo, Jay Schrader, the former quarterback, will be in the house. We recap that Kentucky Derby. Oh, and Kentucky Derby news lives on here, as we will not have a Triple Crown winner this year. We know that, right? Because the horse will not run in the Preakness. Yeah, yeah. We kind of had a feeling about that, but we'll talk about all that tomorrow in the NBA playoffs and a whole lot more. Come on by, see the show live at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas from 2 to 4 p.m. All right, let's talk a little Major League Baseball here with our good friend and writer extraordinaire. Does a fantastic job, of course, with the USA Today. It has been for a long time. And we're talking about the one and only Bob Nightingale. Bob, how are you doing, my man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You see, how you doing?
I'm good. I appreciate you taking the time and joining us. I know you've been busy, been on the road, and I know why I wanted to get you on last week, because I knew that you were with our good friend Dusty Baker back in Houston while he was winning number 2,000. He's gone on now to win about 2,008 or 9. He's on the roll here. So I'm glad to have you on today, Bob, and talk a little bit about that. How much time did you get a chance to spend with Dusty, either on the eve before 2,000 or afterwards?
Yeah, it was a great time. Spent the before the game, before a 2,000th win, then after the game, sat with his wife Melissa and friends during the game, and then we had like an old celebration dinner the next night. Mm-hmm. So it was it was fun. It certainly meant a lot to him. And, he even took a little jab at the Mariners after the game and said, come on, ironic, I get my 2,000th win against a team that I wanted to go to three times when they had openings.
Right.
And they never called me.
Right. Exactly. I thought that was classic, and that's the way he feels. You know, I remember him saying to me, you know, when he was, before he took the Astros job, when he was, you know, still wanting to get back in baseball, you know, it's like, okay, you sure you want to do this? So you want to, you know, go with this team? And if things were, yeah, because, you know, well, three things. One is, you know, they had a great team, but he wanted to win a World Series as a manager, and he wanted to win 2,000 games, because as we all know, that's the magic number for managers, 2,000, basically to get elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And so and I know he's cool and he likes to kind of downplay it a little bit and he doesn't like all the hype like leading up to it. But, you know, when it was all said and done, when he got the 2000, and again, you know, you were there in person, you got a chance to see the elation that he had along with Melissa and his family and all the Astro players and everybody else. And I know that he was kind of relieved with that, but it meant a lot to him. I mean, it really meant a lot to him, and he might not show that type of emotion, but just so happy for him because, again, you know, that is a magic number when it comes to managerial wins. And a lot of people may not realize that, Bob. They think 3,000 hits for players and, you know, what, 400 home runs or whatever the number is, 500 home runs for hitters. But for managers, that's a magic number.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he was 12th when he did that. Passed Bochy, Bruce Bochy, their day, and now he's about to they win the second game, the doubleheader here. They'll tie Leo Durocher for 10th place with at 206. So, yeah, it meant a whole lot to him, really did.
And, you know, I think, you know, he will has a chance to catch Walter Alston, you know, and – I don't know if he can go any closer after that, but he's got a chance to catch Walter Alston this season, right? And that would put him in 10th.
Yeah, I think, Alston's at 2040. So, yeah, he'll definitely catch Alston. So, to be top 10 is unbelievable.
Yeah, outstanding. And in your opinion, Bob, I know you probably have the same feelings I do, but, I mean, Dusty's an automatic Hall of Famer, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, 2,000 wins, you're in. He's definite. You know, they're moving back the Hall of Fame balloting for managers and executives to next year. So it's very possible, you know, if Dusty's retired by then, you know, he and Bruce Bochy could be going in together.
Right, right. You know, and it's funny, you know, because we've heard that they have – that period where you have to be out of the game for 5 years as a player. And a lot of people say, well, Tony La Russa's in. Well, Tony La Russa was out of the game for 5 years. I mean, is that still in play? Because I've heard announcers talk about that just last week. It's like, well, he's going to have to wait 5 years for that. Is that true?
No, that's incorrect.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not for managers, executives.
Right.
And there's an age thing, too. I think if you're either over 65 or 60, I think 65, yeah, you get in. Right away.
Immediately,
so,
right.
I mean, Dusty Dusty can manage next year and still be eligible for that November ballot.
Yeah. How awesome would that be? So he's managing the American League for the All-Star Game in Los Angeles this year. Hopefully a return trip to the World Series. If he wins the World Series, that'd be fantastic. And then, the following year, they go to Cooperstown. It doesn't get any better than that. And well-deserved for a guy that has given his life to baseball and has been such a great ambassador for the game of baseball his entire life.
Yeah, I mean, he could easily have 2,500 wins if he didn't have to sit out those years when when he's waiting between jobs. So, yeah, no, great ambassador for baseball, first black manager to win 2,000. So, no, he was elated. He really was.
Yeah. All right, Bob Nightingale joins us from the USA Today. So, Bob, we had another no-hitter the other night. It was one of the most unusual ones, unusual as far as a sense on who got it in handicap in that game. Looking at Corey Kluber going for the Rays against Reed Detmers for the Angels a couple nights ago. And, you know, Kluber looked like to be back to his old self. He had 4 out of 5 really good starts. He had the one bad start against the Red Sox, but his last two starts were very, very good. He goes in Anaheim. They just rip him to shreds. And the Rays bats can't muster anything off of Detmers. And Detmers, a guy, his 11th career start, hasn't gone past the fifth inning, in any of those starts. And then he gets a no-no, and he only strikes out 2 batters. So it would just seem to be, you know, I guess the perfect storm for Reed Detmers, but I don't know about you, but I did not see that coming at all. But I guess that's kind of the norm here with recent Major League Baseball, as we've seen guys that we wouldn't expect to have no-nos get no-nos.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you don't have to throw 100 miles an hour. You know, it's not about velocity. It's about locating pitches. And that's what he did. Let the defense play behind him, and it wasn't like there's any spectacular plays. It really weren't. Closest play was an error. Could have gone a hit, but an error by a first baseman Walsh. It's going to give him a lot of confidence from now on. I mean, it was a former first round pick, So it's not like it's a huge surprise. You know, the night before, Verlander almost got it himself, or it might have been the same
night.
Day,
it was the same night.
Earlier in the day, where I thought he was going to do it. He was just 5 outs away.
Yeah, and what I liked about that, he faced the minimum, too. 24 batters because he had the two walks there, and they got erased on double plays. And then after he gave up the hit, then I think Maldonado threw out the runner trying to steal. So it was crazy. I'm watching that game thinking, okay, his stuff looks great, and he's going to get it. And then, like you said, a couple hours later, Detmers gets it. So it's crazy. What is your opinion, Bob, of the pitching that we're seeing so far this year? I know there are a lot of people thinking, okay, the lockout's going to affect the pitchers here. We are seeing, very low batting averages. We'll get to that here in a minute. But just from a pitching standpoint, what are your thoughts after, the first, 30 or 40 games?
Yeah, I mean, it's been off and on. I mean, for, sometimes there's a week where just all kinds of runs are scored. And then, another week where the pitching's dominant. Certainly the Astros pitching staff's been unreal for, what they've done. But, yeah, we're seeing, so far, a record low offense with about .231 batting average, fewer home runs. I think the balls are more dead this year. And they want, that's for a reason. They want they want guys to put the ball up and play more, not just rely on strikeout, home run, or walk. Let's get some rallies here. Make it more of a fun game. So I think some guys are trying to beat the shift and trying to hit the other way. So just put the ball in play, and good things will happen. It's like when the White Sox lost that game the other night to Cleveland. Let the White Sox make errors. You're not going to make errors if the guy walks.
Lowest in history that we've seen, batting average is at .231 now, league-wide. And why is that, Bob? Is it really the baseballs? Is it the hitting approach? Is it just more guys striking out, free swingers? Is it plate discipline? What do you pinpoint this? Because again, we've talked about this the last couple of years, but it seems to get lower and lower. And again, it's kind of mind boggling that we're seeing, like you said, .231, especially this early in the season.
Yeah, it's not the baseball; it's just a hitting approach. I've talked to a lot of veteran pitchers. Say it's never been so easy to pitch in their life. Guys are swinging the same when they have two strikes or a 3-0 pitch. It's unbelievable. And it used to be embarrassing to strike out. Now guys aren't. We even saw Trout taking 4 strikeout game about a week or two ago. So, no, it's just the hitting approach. That's got to change. You got to, put the ball in play. Get some base hits instead of just, home run or nothing. Even pitchers that go off the strikeout list, see, it's kind of embarrassing. Like, hey, I shouldn't be compared to Bob Gibson or Koufax or some of these things. Even we saw Kershaw, break the all-time record for Dodger pitchers. And just, he's had a nice career. But just, guys are swinging and missing so often now. It's so different than it was, 10, 20 years ago.
Right. Bob Nightingale joins us, USA Today. Bob, I want your take about the umpire situation. There's been talk here the last few years and, whether we're going to go to maybe some automated, calls and this and that. And, we all understand the human element of the game that, there are going to be mistakes. But, a lot of these things get glorified, especially like in playoff games. And we see, bad calls and everything. I don't know if you watched the Red Sox and Braves game last night, and I'll reset the situation for people. I know it's just it's one call, but it just begs the question here about the umpiring in Major League Baseball. Adam Beck is behind the plate. The Red Sox and Braves are tied 3-3. The bases are loaded. Pitcher is struggling, and Plawecki is at the plate. 3-2 pitch, bases loaded. It's ball 4. It's down by the ankles, and Adam Beck rings him up. Plawecki goes ballistic. Alex Cora comes out. He goes ballistic. It was one of the most absurd calls that I have seen in a long, long time. And again, the umpire didn't hesitate. I mean, he just immediately like, okay, I'm ringing this guy up, and it was clearly a foot off the ground. And it was a game changer. And at that point in time, the Red Sox could have had a huge inning. It was the top of the sixth. And sure enough, it came back to bite them as The game stayed that way until the bottom of the ninth. They got a guy on base and a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth for Atlanta wins the game. But literally, you know, game-changing calls here that that umpires are making here. And I understand, okay, everybody makes mistakes, but some of these things are pretty blatant and pretty crazy, and that's why Cora, Plueke, and so many people were upset about this call last night.
Yeah, but, you know, even after the game, I think Alex Cora says we didn't lose because of one pitch. Yeah, I mean, the umpire looked like he missed the call, even though those, the boxes on the TVs are wrong. Be careful what you wish for. Automatic strike zone is only getting 93% of those calls right, in the minor leagues. So that's why they're not ready to implement in the major leagues. And they will. They'll do it because of gambling. They're bracing gambling, and they don't want calls late innings to, change, what should be the right call, or, if you're, gambling a ball strike at that moment, what the call is going to be. You don't want that human error in there. I don't think the umpires do either. They don't want threats or people screaming at them because they miss a ball strike, late innings. But a lot of those, the ball strike, those boxes on TV are off. The same way if it's a Jose Altuve at 5-6 or Judge at 6-7. So those things aren't right. And a lot of times when you're watching the games on TV and it's, looks like it outside, it was actually a strike. In the case last night, the ball sort of looked low. It was a long plate appearance. He was down 0-2 in the count at some point. So, it's going to happen. I mean, it's baseball.
It is baseball, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, who's your surprise team thus far? I guess, the first thing that would pop in would be the Arizona Diamondbacks, who seem to be playing great despite batting under 200, but they're getting some great pitching. Is it the Diamondbacks for you, or who's really surprising you either for the better or for the worse?
Well, certainly the Minnesota Twins being in first place in the Central, neck and neck with the with the White Sox. They've been a big surprise the way they bounced back after such a lousy season. Diamondbacks, like you said, people thought the Mets would be good, but not this good. The Padres have bounced back, real nice. In the Angels, nobody saw the Angels doing this. They thought they'd be, a possible playoff contender, but not, pitching the way they are and everything, going right for this team. It's the first time in baseball history we've had, the four teams in New York and L.A. all sitting in first place.
Right.
I mean, I don't think, the Yankees, and the Yankees are always good, but we didn't think they'd have the best record in baseball either. Yeah. And I think on the flip side, everybody saw what Detroit did last year. They only had the one bad month, and, okay, here comes the Tigers. They've fallen apart. It's like now they look like the old Tigers. Not even close. Seattle, everybody's getting excited about Seattle. This is the year. They're finally going to make the playoffs after the longest playoff drought in North American team sports. And yet, they're all of a sudden they can't hit at all. Some of their young guys we thought were going to be studs, they have fallen apart. So, probably the Mariners and Tigers are probably the two biggest disappointments.
Right. So, we look at baseball here from a gambling perspective quite a bit here, Bob. So we have someone that bet $500 for the Arizona Diamondbacks to win the World Series at 500-1. So that'd be a $500 investment for $250,000. That wasn't you, Bob Nightingale, coming to Vegas making a play there, was it?
No. I hate to ruin the guy's optimism, but he's going to lose $500. They're not going to win the World Series.
Right.
They're not going to win the division. It'd be a shock, if they made the playoffs. If they made the playoffs, that's you can see a bit like that. But, they're just not good enough. I mean, these guys aren't going to keep pitching like this. Even a guy like Zach Gallen, who's on fire, he only threw 120 pitches last year,
right.
120 innings last year. So they're going to shut him down eventually. So, no, they're a very pleasant surprise. But we're not saying, okay, all of a sudden this team's going to be better than the Dodgers or the Padres.
Right. All right, Bob, but before we let you go, well, I don't know if you've been following the Major League Baseball on MLB.com. They have the What is it? It's like a, the best picture, you know, as in picture, as in...
They're calling it the bleacher feature.
The bleacher feature. I've been following that, Bob, where they have like basically a 16-team bracket of your favorite movies, baseball movies, and they're going to crown a champion here. Now, we went through the list last week. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but I'm very curious. Bob Nightingale, what is your all-time favorite baseball movie?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Go to MLB.com, and I get the emails like, you know, every week and kind of updating everything. And it was kind of ingenious because they have different, you know, divisions here. And like, say you had Field of Dreams going against Angels in the outfield. Well, let's just do this with you real quick, Bob. Let's advance on. I'm curious as to where you go. You go Field of Dreams versus Angels in the outfield. Who advances on for you?
I go Field of Dreams.
Okay, Field of Dreams. Right. The Natural against For the Love of the Game.
I go the Natural. Natural is very good.
It was, right? Now, I got to say that For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner, you remember seeing that movie? I thought that was outstanding.
No, it was a very good movie. Yeah, very good movie.
You remember that one?
Of course, a romance movie. Yeah, kind of like two different type of movies.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good movie.
You're right. Good point. More of a romance movie. Okay. The Sandlot and The Perfect Game.
I can't remember The Perfect Game. What was that one about?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. It was one that we looked it up, too, and I can't remember. Well, that one loses by disqualification, right, Bob? It's got to be Sandlot.
I can't.
Seen
that one. Okay.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Rookie of the Year and Bad News Bears. Now, for me, this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer for me, Bob. No question about this one.
What do you got, Bad News Bears?
Absolutely. The greatest Little League movie of all time. Are you kidding me? Buttermaker, Kelly Leak. Oh, yeah. Amanda Wurlitzer, Tatum O'Neal. Come on, Bob. That's one of the classics of our childhood, right?
It's the best Little League movie of all time. I'll go with that one.
There you go. Okay, then we have A League of Their Own and The Rookie with Dennis Quaid.
Both very good. Yeah, both good. That's almost a toss-up.
It is. That's an extra inning affair, Bob. We're going to put you on second base, and you're going to have to decide the winner here. Let's see your speed coming from second in the 10th inning. Who is it? You got to pick one.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'll go League of Their Own just because a lot of history to know about with the women's baseball.
Okay.
So I'll go with that. Just stuff that didn't know. It's almost like a history lesson.
Okay. Now, you think that was tough. How about this one? 42 and 8 men out.
I'll go 8 men out.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I like it.
So the only reason I stand that is because I've read so many Jackie Robinson books and documentaries. I used to thought it was too G-rated.
Yeah.
They talk about politics, the civil rights movement and things like that. That was kind of a love story between him and Rachel.
Yeah.
So it was a nice, like a Disney type thing. I would have loved to see like a Spike Lee movie doing 42. I mean, it's well done, but it didn't have the edge I was hoping it would have.
I'm with you. I like that. I like that breakdown. Major League and Trouble with the Curve with Clint Eastwood.
I guess Major League. Trouble with the Curve. I like Trouble with the Curve, but it got thrashed in ratings. But yeah.
All right, and then finally, our opening round: Bull Durham and Moneyball.
I'll go Bull Durham. Bull Durham was outstanding.
Wow.
I'll go Bull Durham. I think you can make a case for Bull Durham as maybe the best baseball movie. That was great.
Okay. I think it's going to probably come down to Bull Durham and Field of Dreams, if that's the case. If it came down to that, Bob, who would it be for you?
I'll go Bull Durham.
Oh, wow. See, you liked all that nonsense. You like the nonsense. You like that minor league nonsense.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I think was true in Bull Durham with the minor leagues and stuff like that. And they, I like that. Yeah, talk about the Moneyball is, the Moneyball never talked about Mulder, Hudson, or Zito. You know, the three greatest pitchers of in history. Never even mentioned them. I got a couple very good friends who work for the A's, refused to watch the movie. Like, come on.
It did show what a jerk David Justice was, though. So I guess that's okay. So I don't know. But yeah, we appreciate
it was entertaining
the time,
movie,
man.
But yeah, they didn't win. They won 20 games, but they didn't win the World Series.
Good point. All right, my friend, appreciate you spending the time with us today, and we'll talk to you soon, and we'll see how this MLB.com tournament goes with the best movie, and we'll get your take later on with this. How's that?
Yeah, now I'll start following it. Now you brought my attention to it. Okay.
There you go. I feel a column is coming in the USA Today about this. There you go.
What happened to the Lou Gehrig story and those? Yeah, Babe Ruth story.
Right, exactly.
They were part of it?
Yeah. I guess they weren't too old. See, they're only skewing this to people 40 and under, I guess.
Yeah, if I'd never heard of Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig, you're right.
Take care, my man. Appreciate you.
All right. See.
There he is. Bob Nightingale, the USA Today. Don't you dare go anywhere. NBA playoffs and more coming your way in hour number two of the TC Martin Show.
It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
Live in the entertainment capital of the world.
Here you go. As this game is going on, he's feeling it, and you can see he's rising to the occasion.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
Oh, awesome, baby, with a cap of the leg.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
This is your captain, baby. Hey, come with me.
The doctor is now in.
Here we go, hour number two. Yes. TC Martin Show, of course, streaming live at tcmartinshow.com. Appreciate Bob Nightingale joining us in hour number one, talking a little Major League Baseball. This hour, we'll talk NBA playoffs. Las Vegas Aces back in action tomorrow night before they're on the road. They got a four-game homestand starting on Tuesday. We'll talk about that. And, of course, going to handicap some winners from the baseball side and the NBA playoff side with Scott Spritzer a little bit later on in this hour. Don't forget tomorrow. Back at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas, our Friday home, we recap that wild Kentucky Derby and a look ahead to the Preakness. And how exciting will this Preakness be with Rich Strike not being in the Preakness? I got to give Double B credit for that. Brian Benowitz said, winner of this Derby, probably not going to run in the Preakness. Craziness. I mean, what is the meaning now of the Triple Crown? So. All right, so a lot to cover tomorrow at the Cosmopolitan. The quarterback, Jay Schrader, will be joining us as well, too. Marco D'Angelo, come on by, see the show live. Always fun at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Oh, and more importantly, just great eats as well, too. All right, a man who can cover all of that from A to Z, the one and only Mr. Poison himself, Mr. Brian Salmon, what it is!
Girl, I must. Yeah, what's happening, my man?
Hey.
I got to it too quick.
You did. You did. You got to pace yourself, my man. You never know.
I'm old, man. I'm worn out right now, TC.
You are. I knew it. It seems like every time, everywhere I go, I run into B. Sal. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm seeing B. Sal. And it was great to see you at the Aces game the other night. And, you got to talk to Mark Davis, which was really cool. And I waited patiently while you finished your TV interview with him. So that was great. And good stuff, man. Good stuff. So I know that you aired that as well, too. And for viewers or listeners that didn't get a chance to see that, why don't you kind of synopsize that with your interview with Mark?
Well, one of the big things I asked him, I appreciate you waiting patiently for the little one-on-one, man. But yeah, one of the big things I asked him was, one, about the NFL draft and how it went as far as being the host team, because that's a big deal. And he joked and said that he tried to get Roger Goodell to give him a compensatory first-round pick. That didn't work out. But he enjoyed that. I also asked him about, just the Aces and how he built the team into basically a premier team in the WNBA. And he talked about, how he brings all the players back. And the biggest thing about hiring Nikki Fargus and how, she got Natalie Williams and she got Becky Hammond and everything else. So just basically the family atmosphere that the Aces have and the new building that they have coming up right near the Raiders HQ, which is pretty cool, man. It's always good to talk to Mark, man. I mean, call him Mark Davis. How about that, the owner?
No, that's it. I mean, we're both on first name basis with him, and it's great to talk with him. And he's always open. He's very candid. He's very honest. And, you know, again, I love having him on the show, whether it's on this show or at halftime on the Aces broadcast. And it's funny because for the majority of the time, you know, I can tell that he would rather talk Aces than Raiders. So I try to kind of stay away from a lot of Raider talk, and especially, you know, nowadays with everything that's going on and, you know, the Raiders, you know, losing their president again, the second president they lost in less than a year. I know that Mark, you know, doesn't like to talk about a lot of those things, you know, Raiders related. And I noticed, like I said, you touched on a couple things with that. And I noticed, you know, you probably didn't go there with him, but, you know, certain things he just are his passion, and you could just see he loves football, but he loves the WNBA and he loves the Aces. And I really genuinely believe that you give him a choice, he'd rather talk Aces than Raiders right now.
No, I agree, especially when you know, the fact that he was already sitting courtside at the Aces games even before he owned the team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like I love his passion for the Aces and everything. So he definitely would rather talk Aces than Raiders.
Yeah. And B-Sal, again, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again too. I mean, I appreciate you covering the Aces the way you do too, because a lot of guys don't that have your exact same position at other television stations here in Las Vegas. They don't do it. They're not as dedicated. You know, when you have opportunities to do live shots there at Michelob Ultra Arena, you're doing it. You're having these players on, you know, on Sunday nights. And again, I appreciate that. The whole organization appreciates that. And I know that you're a hoopster, and you know that, you know, once you connect with these ladies, whether it's players or Becky Hammond or Nikki Vargas or whoever it is, that, you know, they're so genuine and so good, and they're so appreciative of us, and they love the media that will basically promote their product.
You know what? I appreciate you saying that, CC, because I try to take pride in covering all of our professional teams as much as I can. Like, probably the team that I don't get out to as much as I'd love to would be the Aviators. But as far as the Aces are concerned, they're a big-time professional team. The WNBA is a big-time professional league. They're probably the best professional team that we have in Las Vegas to cover. And I take pride in that because you're right. I don't know whether or not Fox was live. I don't think they were, but they were there. I don't believe Channel 8 was even there. And so Jess and I were both there. And that, like you said, I had Nikki Vargas on a couple weeks ago. I had Becky Hammond on a couple weeks ago. I've had players on. I was the first person to get the two players, Kelsey Plum and Chelsea Gray, on after they came back from winning their gold medal. So, yeah, I try to take pride in that, man. I appreciate you shouting that out and kind of pointing that out, too.
No, it's noticed, man. So, again, you know, appreciate that. And for people that don't understand the WNBA or don't give it a shot, and it's better now than it was, you know, 4 years ago when the team got here. But you've got to go check out a game. And I've been, you know, banging that drum for a long time. And every time that, you know, someone says to me, hey, I went to my first Aces game, they all come back with the same, you know, attitude and mantra. It's like, wow, I had no idea. This is great. The product is fantastic. And again, they do a great job of what they've done. And as you know, B-Sal, that the organization has grown since Mark Davis has taken over. They are now doing more and more things. They've always done things in the community, but now they have a bigger staff so they can do the things. One of the coolest things that I thought that they did, and not many organizations do this, is they had the players go out and deliver the season tickets, the physical season tickets, to the season ticket holders' homes. And I thought that was cool. Yeah, to see Kelsey Plum go knock on a door, and Jackie Young and Raquana Williams and Chelsea Gray, those guys go do that to give up their time, is cool. And we see how much Asia Wilson buys into the promotional side of it as well, too. I mean, she, with all the Aces, they are so accessible, and it's great. And it's great. And that's how you build fan bases from the ground up, especially for a product that a lot of the people really weren't too familiar with when they got here, going back to 2018.
Man, I'm glad you brought that up as well. For the past, I don't know, this past week, I've been wanting to put that on the air as far as Jackie and Kelsey and Bay, Raquana, going and delivering those season tickets, because I completely agree that that is one of the coolest things that any professional organization could do, something like that. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really enjoyed seeing that. So I'm hoping that Jesse can get that on the air tonight, because I think that's something that, that people – you know, that people need to see. I think that's a wonderful thing. And another thing that you said that is 100% correct is the fact that how accessible they are from the general manager to the head coach to the players, you know, just super duper accessible. I can tell you that I've had, I think I've had probably every player that's on the roster that, that's been there for a little bit, I've had in studio except for Chelsea Gray. And I can tell you that I've never had a Golden Knights player in studio that's been arranged by the team. So that tells you something right there. You know what I mean? So I appreciate the business that they run and how they're running their business over there. And I think it's a good thing that you spotlight it. And on top of all of that, their games air on our sister station, the CW. So, I mean, they're somewhat like a corporate partner in a sense. But I would cover them the same anyway.
Yeah, and so thoughts. I know they lost against the Mystics on the road the other night, but you were there, you know, for that game against Seattle, and just a fantastic performance and a great crowd on hand. And that was the first time that Aces fans here in Las Vegas got a chance to see the new look Aces, as I like to call them. And they're going to get a chance to get a little bit more of an extended homestand starting next Tuesday when they have four games coming in. It's going to start with the Phoenix Mercury and Dino Taurasi. And again, they already got the one, you know, payback when they opened the season last Friday at Phoenix with the victory. Now they're going to get them back on the home floor where the season ended for the Aces last year in the playoffs in that exciting five-game series. And I can tell you, you know, B-Sal, that, I mean, they've got that game circled on the calendar. They had last Friday's game circled on the calendar. I mean, and believe me, there is a chip on the Aces' shoulders, and that is a real thing.
Yes, as it should be. As it should be. I mean, they're a good team. They should have a chip on their shoulder. They're one of the teams, one of the few teams that have an opportunity to win a WNBA championship this season. So I'm looking forward to see how they do against the Mercury. I'm glad that they won that game, you know, to open their home games earlier. Or no, open the season, excuse me. To open the season, they played the Mercury. Without Brittany Griner, it's a shame what's going on with that whole deal. But, yeah, the Aces, man, I enjoy watching them play. I really enjoyed that first half in Washington. Didn't love the second half, but, you know, we'll see. They have a bounce back tomorrow in Atlanta.
You got it. Brian Salmon joins us, the sports director over at News 3. All right, NFL schedule release coming tonight. We realize a lot of stuff has leaked out and that sort of thing, but it's still kind of a big deal here. What are you guys doing, you know, from your standpoint there at News 3 regarding the schedule release, and how are you hitting that and how are you covering it?
Well, that's a good question. We are covering it. What we're going to do later on today is Jesse, because I'm off today, actually. So Jesse will have he'll go over the schedule tonight at 5 o'clock. I think the schedule is due to be released around 4, right?
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, yeah.
It is at 5 o'clock.
At 5, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. So, yeah, if it's at 5 o'clock, then, yeah, as soon as it, you know, it'll be released, we'll get something on the air with that. It kind of highlights the big games that will be, you know, I'm sure, you know, what'll be the Monday night football game, the Sunday night football game, which we hope they have a few of them because they come on Channel 3.
Yeah. Self-promotion there. You got to like that, yeah.
Of course. And you know that it's great for our station, but it's also great for the Raiders, and because that is the highest rated TV show on television on any network is Sunday Night Football. So the more that the Raiders can get, you know, previewed and showcased on that stage is good for the Las Vegas Raiders in our city, man. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing, you know, when they play certain teams. And then, you know, you and I probably both are going to wait to see the type of email and text messages we get from friends across the country. It's like, hey, I'm trying to come out to the Raiders game when they play such and such. Do you have any hookup on tickets?
Right.
You know, we're both going to be getting a ton of those.
I know. I know already. Oh, that's crazy. We got breaking news here, B-Sal. Yeah. And actually, it came down a little bit later, earlier today. But the New England Patriots finalizing a trade with the Raiders, sending quarterback Jared Stidham here to Las Vegas. Jared Stidham going to be a member of the Raiders to back up Derek Carr. New England's also going to send a seventh-round pick in return for next year. And the Raiders are going to get a swap a pick there for the sixth-round pick for the Raiders. So, yeah, Stidham and a seventh-round pick for the Raiders, sixth-round pick next year. That's what's happening there. And as we know, this will reunite Jared Stidham with Josh McDaniels, who was his offensive coordinator with the Patriots for the past three seasons. So obviously, this is a Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler move 100%, where they see this guy and they say, you know what, we like this kid. We got to get him in the fold here. As we know, Marcus Mariota is no longer with the Raiders. So if something happens to Derek Carr, they feel very confident that Stidham could be the guy.
No, I think that's a pretty good move. And I also saw that they released Blake Gabbert. So, I mean, they needed a backup quarterback, and, you know, he's as good as any. I mean, the fact that Marcus Mariota came here for 2 years and was basically hurt, ran a couple of read options, and actually played well when he came in for Derek Carr that one game, but and raised his stock up quick, right?
Right.
I mean, Marcus Mariota turned into, like, one of the hottest topics in the NFL after coming here and really doing nothing, but good for him. And good for the Raiders, man. They need a backup quarterback.
And the thing about with Mariota, I felt bad for him because he is more than capable of being a starting quarterback in the league. He has been before. And just unfortunately, he was sitting behind Derek Carr and he wasn't going to get a chance to play. But I mean, there were times, you know, when, especially with John Gruden, that they were looking at Mariota like, okay, let's use this guy more, get him in more packages, or, you know, especially, you know, when there have been this time, especially last year, when, not last year, but the season before, when Carr struggled a little bit. So I felt bad for Mariota, but because he could definitely play in this league, there's no doubt about it.
I agree. The rumblings were there. Yep. The Derek Carr haters were out there talking about Derek Carr, who finished in the top 10 in passing, I think, the last two seasons, but still, like, wanting to see what Mariota would do. But no, I get it, man. You know, the most popular player on a football team is the backup quarterback.
Right. That's true. So with Jared Stidham coming over here to the Raiders to back up Carr, that means that he'll be competing in training camp against Nick Mullins, who had, you know, he had a little stint with the 49ers. Then he had Garrett Gilbert as well, too. So, yeah, those are your Raiders quarterbacks that will be in training camp. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm praying that Derek Carr stays healthy.
Yes, right. Exactly.
those are my thoughts. Please stay healthy. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to see any of those guys play. Sorry.
All right, B-Sal, we got to figure out what happened with the Golden State Warriors last night.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
man, are you allowed to use that kind of explicit language on your show?
yeah, it just depends what can get through the 7-second delay, you know. But yeah, 134-95. This game became a rout in the second quarter. It was a joke. Where it was all Memphis early on, and it just seemed like, I know a lot of people today are saying, Warriors got no pride, they quit, all that stuff. I'm not buying that they quit, okay? And I was afraid that this might happen. Maybe not to that extent, but I even said it yesterday that if the Warriors fall behind early, okay, they have a propensity to get blown out in situations like this, especially when they could, you know, they're up 3-1 already. If Memphis comes out here and shoots the lights out, that's exactly what they did. The second half they sent their starters back out there, but after that it was like, okay. So I'm not buying that they quit. There are a lot of people, including my good friend Bill Cartwright, says it's embarrassing in all of his years as a player in this league and as a coach in that league that he has never been a part of that. He's never seen a performance like that and a blowout like that during the regular season, or specifically even the playoffs. And he says it's inexcusable for a team to have that kind of performance and effort last night. And it is. It's rather shocking to see them just get blitzed the way they did.
You know what? I have to agree with your big seven-footer, man. I mean, that was embarrassing. It was upsetting to see as a person who's, you know, rooting and pulling for the Golden State Warriors to do well. I think they did quit. Like, they just like, you know, whatever. After they got down by, like, I don't know, 15, they got down by, like, 17, and they brought it back to 11-1. And then, you know, Steph threw the ball away. Draymond threw the ball away. I was frustrated watching it. I had to turn it off. Yeah. Man. Like, I was frustrated watching it. The biggest thing to me that just drives me mad, is when Steph is so lackadaisical with the ball, man. That drives me crazy. Because, you know, he just throw the ball, and that's how he plays. And as a coach, I'm thinking to myself, like, please, somebody yelling. Stop playing so lackadaisical. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It
drives you crazy.
No, that drives you crazy. It does to me to a certain degree, but I for some reason, I'm willing to give him the pass because of his greatness. And, you know, when you need a comeback, he's going to lead it. But what drives me crazy, B-Sal, is Draymond Green. The turnovers with him is ridiculous. And again, they put the ball, and I know they've done it forever, put the ball in his hands way too much. You know, he loves to bring the ball up court. He loves to play that point guard position. But so many turnovers for Draymond Green, that drives me nuts. And then you couple that, you know, with the attitude and then the berating the officials. And let's face it, the Golden State Warriors, they put up with Draymond Green. Draymond Green is one of the most hated. It's true. He's one of the most hated players, despised players in the entire league. And it is. Uh-oh. And even the Warriors, they put up with him. And we saw that it did drive Kevin Durant away. It did drive Kevin Durant away. Yeah.
It did, but I definitely got to push back on that. Put up with Draymond Green? Draymond Green, to me, is the smartest player on their team by far. And their team doesn't have the success or run defensively or offensively when he's not there, not even close. Steph Curry is not Steph Curry without Draymond Green. And the way that he sets screens and passes the ball and everything else, and I'd be willing to bet, you go ahead and look this up, or Nunchuck could look it up, that Steph Curry, one, had more turnovers than Draymond Green in the game last night, and two, averages more turnovers than Draymond Green per game. Like, it's not even close, I don't think. This is going off. And I'll have to look it up when I get off the phone if he doesn't get it by now. But the berating the officials, I 1,000% agree with you. I can't stand it either. Like, stop, Draymond. Stop. Yeah. I know you're a great defensive player. You're a great defensive player. Not a good, but great defensive player. But you never found anybody? Never? Ever? You're like, come on, stop.
Yeah.
But also, guys need to stop flopping. John Morant, as good as he is, him diving all over the place, looking like he's got shot every time somebody would get near him, like, stop that too. So, yeah, man, I could talk for the next hour on this. I'm sorry.
All right, peace out. I'm going to take the other side with you because Draymond Green is a turnover machine, and you would expect Steph Curry to have more turnovers because he handles the ball much more.
Not more than Draymond.
Much more.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So here you go. No. Last night, peace out. Okay. Draymond Green, yes. 5, Steph Curry, 2. Yes.
Two turnovers,
and Draymond Green had 5. And you want to go back, Draymond Green had 7 turnovers, what is it, in game 2.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
He was the leading turnover.
Yes, he always is the lead. He's a turnover machine.
Well, he averages more assists, too, but I mean, how many assists did each of them have? No, I agree, you got me. How many assists did he have? Are you looking at it?
I mean, well, let's look at it. I mean, does
Draymond had 5. Steph had 4.
Had 4. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
So one more doesn't count.
Yeah. But so there you go. I mean, it's irritating. Both these guys are irritated, but Steph is going to get the pass because, again, he's the tremendous scorer. And there you go. But it does drive.
He gets no pass.
He gets a pass from me. That's it. Draymond drives me nuts. And, yeah, he's He's a smart player, but I got to get a little pushback on that too, man. Just because, again, if you're
smartest.
That smart of a player, you don't turn the ball over like that. You have to have a higher IQ, but you're right. I mean, defensively, I will give him that. But again, and you can't berate your teammates the way he does as well, too. You know what I'm saying? That's just uncalled for. But it's true.
Somebody's
I think the Warriors
keep the guys in line.
Yeah, but when I say that they tolerate him or they put up with him, it's true. It's like they've thought about getting rid of him, but they say, you know what? We're going to keep him. But if he was with any other organization, they probably would have kicked him to the curb a long time ago, man.
Oh, my gosh. You're talking about a guy who was the defensive player of the year. Like, are you kidding me?
I love that about him, man. I do love that about him. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
That team is nowhere close to being as good as they are without Draymond.
All right, will you agree with me? Will you agree with me that they come back and spank the heck out of Memphis and send them out tomorrow night with a double-digit victory in San Francisco?
They better. Yeah. They better. If not, then you and I, we're going to go picket or we're gonna protest or something.
All right, my friend. Enjoy your off day tonight and enjoy the schedule release. We will talk to you very, very soon. And I'll probably hopefully see you out at the Michelob Ultra Arena on Tuesday night.
My bro, TC, man, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's absolutely always good to see you, man. Wish I had a chance to kind of chop it up with you a little bit more at the game, man. But next time.
No problem. And like I said, if Mark doesn't come on with me at halftime, you're my number two. You're really not the number two, but you know what I'm saying. But I gotta get the owner takes precedence coming on with me at halftime.
Yeah,
but
I'm okay with that.
But be ready. You come on over and join me at halftime.
I can be the sixth man off the bench, man, if you need me. It's all good.
There it is. And sub in, B Sal. There it is.
There we go, man.
That's it.
I'm pulling off the sweats and ready to fire them things up, man. I'm ready to go.
That's what I'm saying. B Sal from three, okay? Just keep the attempts to a minimum, though, B Sal, okay? If you're hot, that's one thing. But if you're not, then you're going to have to scale back a little bit. You're going to have to turn to the assist man, okay?
That's cool, man. Hey, if I put up 3 3-pointers and I miss all three of them,
yes,
then I'll scale back.
Yeah.
If I hit the first one or if I hit the third one, then I'll hit 4 straight. That's just kind of how it goes.
I tell you what, if you miss the first three, you're relegated to the water bottle duty. That's it. You're not going to get a chance to scale back on the floor.
Brian Salbrick.
Anybody who knows me knows that won't happen.
You got that right. I love it. I love it. All right, brother. Thanks for the time, man. Appreciate you.
My guy, man. I appreciate you, TC. Dumbcheck, man. Hey, I'll just say this. I just looked at my phone, and for some reason, I had your guys' number blocked.
You've had Numbchuck's number blocked. Yeah. The station's number blocked. See, Numbchuck tried to school you.
I did. Hey, and I'm big enough to admit if I'm wrong. And I just did it on the air. So yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, you just announced to everyone that you had the radio station's number blocked. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you get on my nerves. No, anyway, I'm saying what you mean.
I think you're talking about another show.
That's terrible.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I. Take care, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You guys be good.
All right. There he is. Let's go to the break. Coming up next, Scott Spritzer. Hit it.
All right. Let me put some water on your ball.
More from the Master Debater. C. Martin. You never know what comes out of this guy's mouth.
Well, you know we aim to please here. I mean, we aim to please when our guests come on and we go to their musical genre. And our next guest, he has several musical genres, which I can relate to. I'm not sure I can actually relate to this one. But I know he's bobbing his head and banging his head right now. And he's probably shocked and amazed because he doesn't get this kind of intro and any other show that he does, any national show, the one and only Scott Spritzer. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott banging his head against the wall. What's happening?
I got a new rose. I still, you're going to have to shout. I can't hear. The ears are still buzzing from last night at the House of Blues, man, with the Damned. I mean, it was crazy.
I saw that you were there. Obviously, Numbchuck saw that as well, too. So what possessed you to go see the Damned?
Well, I've been a fan of a lot of that genre, I guess, of those type of bands since I was a kid. So the first time I heard New Rose by The Damned, I was probably, I don't know, 11 or something like that in the late 70s. And just, you know, I've been a huge fan ever since. And so when I saw they were playing, I decided about a month ago when I saw they were playing to buy tickets, and a buddy of mine liked them also. So we headed over to the Mandalay Bay House of Blues, and, you know, there were three bands that played last night. And what I found out is that I am no longer capable of standing for 4.5 hours and still feeling like I'm in good shape the next morning. It doesn't work that way at my age. And so we saw a couple of bands. There was a guitarist who has his own band called Kid Congo who opened, and you know, he used to play with a band called Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, which I have been a big fan of forever. And the opening band before that was the Rhythm Shakers, who were a good old rockabilly band. And like I like to say, you know, old punkers never die. They just go rockabilly, you know. So that's basically with them. And then The Damned came on. And I got to say, man, they were so tight and sounded so good. But my right ear has probably about 25% of its normal ability or capability to decipher this, you know, voices that are sitting right next to me right now.
So 1 week ago, we go from talking about the Coasters to a week later on his next appearance on the show to The Damned. Talk about the versatility there, Scott. There's something wrong.
If it's good music, man, I like it. I don't care what genre, I'm there. And so, you know, I got to tell you, TC, I almost did a back-to-backer because you got Psychedelic Furs playing there tonight.
Yes.
And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to hold off. I like about three other songs. And again, I'm 55. And I need, like, at least 2 weeks to recover. It's not like it used to be.
There's a Sammy Hagar reference there, ladies and gentlemen, with a 55 reference there.
There you go.
All right, so we hit it all there. All right, brother, let's talk about this NBA. Let's focus on tonight's games here. We've got the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. It is big-time do-or-die for Joel Embiid, James Harden, and the Sixers tonight. Despite all that, Philly's a 2-point favorite at home. Miami spanked the hell out of Philly, almost as bad as what we saw last night with Memphis and Golden State. But I think, you know, that was kind of a one-off there for the Warriors. I don't think anyone thinks that's going to happen again. But what Miami did to Philly in that pivotal Game 5 was just downright inexcusable. I think if you're a Sixer fan and the way Joel Embiid and Harden and the rest of those guys played, how do you see tonight's game unfolding, Scott?
Yeah, it's like, which Miami team are we going to see tonight? Right. Is it going to be the one that scored that couldn't get it to 80 points, you know, in Philly earlier this series? Or will it be the one that, you know, came out and couldn't miss on Tuesday in that big win? So I think in this particular game, and I do have a bet that I'm going to talk about in the other game, but this game I just am not crazy about from a betting perspective. And if I was forced to play it, I'd play Philly on the money line, which is as low as $1.33 and as high as $1.40 as we speak. But, you know, Harden's been better at home than on the road, as has his team. And then, of course, you got no Kyle Lowry in a tough spot for Miami on the road, because I don't believe those guys, you know, that are getting more playing time in Lowry's place are going to be as effective away from home. I'm talking about Vincent and Strus, of course. And, you know, so again, it's not a play for me. It's an opinion on Philly on the money line. That's the way I'd go if I had to. I think they somehow squeak out the win. But again, because of Miami's injury to Lowry and other things of that nature, I just, and the way they played home and away, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to hold off of this game and watch it. There's no really good angles that I could find on this contest.
I'm in total agreement with you. I think Miami is probably the better team, but like you said, without Lowry and the way they play on the road, and Philly's back is up against the wall, and they're supposed to win this game. They should win this game. They played great at home. But the bottom line here is, Scott, it's hard to predict what's going to happen with this Philly team. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they do lay an egg, because we've seen them lay an egg so much during the course of this season. And can you imagine if this team loses tonight and they get eliminated on their home floor in six games, the backlash that you're going to get, especially in that city of Philadelphia with Doc Rivers, having Joel Embiid, you know, arguably, you know, the MVP of the league, even though Jokic got it. But this would be a downright embarrassment for Philadelphia to go out in the second round.
Yeah, and I question Doc Rivers anymore, too. I mean, what, 6 or 7 years, if he keeps going, he's going to be one of the all-time, maybe the all-time winningest coach. But, you know, and he made me a lot of money back in, what was it, 08, when it was Garnett and Pierce. But he lived off of Garnett and Pierce, you know, in that championship series against the Lakers. And ever since then, his playoff record has been, you know, has been lacking. Here's the thing about Miami, or excuse me, about the Sixers. While you're standing around taking shots without trying to drive against the Miami Heat, who were top six in committing the most fouls per game this entire season, is beyond me. And while the coaches have to, excuse me, the players have to have enough basketball IQ to drive to the rim or at least try to draw fouls by getting in the paint, you still have a head coach, and he's supposed to be telling your guys, listen, guys, wake up. You got to be driving the paint. You got to be trying to get these guys to commit a lot of fouls because that's what they do. And yet we saw the other night Philly standing around just shooting the basketball. Hey, listen, I was real happy. I had Miami, but I'm still sitting there, you know, just shaking my head about what is wrong with this team and why won't they try to penetrate. Miami will commit fouls, so the last thing you want to do is stand around taking, you know, jump shots. And in fact, you know, inefficient jump shots because they're like, you know, 16, 17, 18 footers. You know, they're not going to count for three if they fall. They're mid-range shots that are just, again, not efficient. So I thought there was a little bit of low IQ from the basketball players themselves, but especially from Doc Rivers, who just, I don't know, man, he had that great run with Boston, but ever since it's been shaky.
Yeah, and I don't like this team in close games as well, too. And if Miami comes up tonight and they're there at the end, it would not surprise me if Philadelphia loses this game. And I think a lot of people are thinking, okay, home team, Philly, Embiid, Harden's playing better, that they're going to get the job done here tonight. So I understand, you know, your play on this game, Moneyline, even though you're not going to play, I agree with you. I can't touch this game. But, man, I'm just kind of looking ahead. And if Philly does lose, I mean, we got ourselves a big story here, and some heads are going to roll. It would not surprise me at all if Doc Rivers is out of Philadelphia, and I hate to go there with that, to look ahead like that, because I prefer to, you know, we can make all the predictions we want, but I don't like doing that with people's jobs, and then, okay, let's wait and see what happens before we start, you know, commenting on situations like that. But, man, it's overall, it's not a good sign in Philadelphia right now if you're a Sixers fan.
Yeah, I mean, he almost, you know, they almost blew, or it looked like they might blow that 3-0 lead to Toronto, you know, and they got through that. But again, you know, don't like talking about, you know, putting coaches' heads on the chopping blocks, but, you know, Doc will be okay. Last time I checked, I think his bank account was pretty decent. And he'll get another job. That's the thing. He'll get another job if he does lose this job. Now, they could come out tonight and win. They could find a way to win this series, and then everything we're talking about becomes a moot point. But again, it's the situation of this is what Doc Rivers does. He has good regular seasons. He gets to the postseason, and he struggles. And again, it's not like they're going up against some team that they should just wipe off the floor, because I agree with you. I think Miami's a little bit better, and I think some of the heat should be put on, you know, I like to call him James No Heart Harden. Right. I think some of the, you know, you got to put some of that on him. And again, the players at this level, you got to recognize that Miami gets in foul trouble, so make them work. You know, don't give them a you know, three or four out of every five or six times down court. Don't give them that time off, so to speak, when it comes to them on the defensive end. Make them, you know, play you and get in front of you and get their feet set without committing fouls. And, you know, a lot of that has to fall on the players too.
All right, Scott Spritzer joins us, Doc Sports, talking NBA playoffs tonight. So we talked about that game last time. It was a 35-point victory for the Heat. And we had a 30-point victory by the Phoenix Suns. And now Phoenix goes for the closeout game on the road here tonight. Phoenix, a 2-point favorite at Dallas in the later game tonight. Scott, give me some thoughts on Dallas and Phoenix.
Well, you know, I power rated the Suns before the playoffs began as the best team in the league, and I still think that way. And I expect the series clinching win tonight, TC. I mean, they dominated the season series. And after a couple of tough losses in games 3 and 4, they made the adjustments and blew Dallas's doors off in game 5. And unlike what we saw last night with Memphis and Golden State, yeah, a big win like that is maybe, you know, a little bit out of the norm or whatever you want to call it, or an anomaly. But I think the Suns, you know, beating Dallas by double digits is a lot more of an indication of how talented, or the talent level the Suns have over Dallas, more than it would be, let's say, Memphis and Golden State. I just thought that was an incredibly bad game last night by one team and a great game by the other. But as far as this game is concerned, again, you know, when you're talking about games 2 through games 4 in the playoffs, 2, 3, and 4, I've always thought it's really about adjustments, the chess game, all that kind of stuff. And then games 5 through 7, if it goes that far, is more of a talent advantage that wins out more often than not. And the Suns have more ways to beat Dallas than Dallas has to beat Phoenix. And one of those examples is that they won that game by 30 the other night. Chris Paul only took 8 shots. He only made 3. He scored 7 points, yet his team won by 30. You know, so if you get one of the top 2 scorers for Dallas to come out and take 8 shots and score 7, you know, again, you're going to see that they're not going to win that basketball game in all likelihood, especially by double digits. So there's another very nice angle that fits this particular series also. And what it is that game 5, well, again, the talent advantage, but road favorites up 3-2. They're only 21-3 straight up and against the spread run the last 12 years. They're 15-0 the last 7 years straight up and against the spread. Again, it's road favorites who are up 3-2. Obviously, that fits the Suns. And that angle, by the way, is a perfect 4-0 so far this season. There's another angle, and I'm not the first one to mention that angle, by the way, so I don't want to sound like I'm digging the archives and finding this stuff, but that has been out there the last day or so. But the one also that fits this is when you have a season series where one team, you know, defeats the other team in the season series by more than 2 games, those teams in the postseason, it's like 88-3 that they win those series going back many, many years now. That would fit the Phoenix Suns also. So, you know, are you going to be shocked if the Mavs win at home? Of course not. But I did play Phoenix. I laid the 1.5. It's 2. Still like them at 2.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that Phoenix is not going to win this series. I think they will win this series. If they don't win it tonight, they're going to win it in Game 7, you know, back on their home floor. But I'll say this, Scott. Dallas was very impressive in Games 3 and 4 because they got away from Doncic having to do everything. If you go back to that Game 4, you had Doncic with 26. You had Brunson with 18. You had Finney-Smith that had 24, and they got production. Actually, I think they had 6 double-digit scores, you know, in that game. Kleber had 11. Dinwiddie had 10. Bertans had 12. I mean, they got a lot of production there. And for some reason, you know, I kind of like Dallas a little bit in this game at home, back against the wall, you know, type of thing, because what we saw in games 3 and 4 from them were very, very impressive. And then they went on the road and they threw that clunker again because they got no other production from, outside of Doncic. So I don't know. I think, you know, this game for me is more intriguing than the Philadelphia-Miami game. I hear what you're saying. Wouldn't surprise me if Phoenix closes this thing out tonight. But it really wouldn't surprise me if Dallas rallies behind the home crowd and Doncic and Finney-Smith and Brunson, you know, lead them to victory.
The big thing is Brunson, and that's why I had Dallas, you know, when they won the first time they won in this series. Because I, you know, like you just said, I went back and was looking at the first 2 games and, you know, had wrote down some notes while I was sitting there watching the first couple of the games, and I'm going, okay, he's taking too many shots and he's trying to win it on his own. And I think we might have talked about it on your show, I'm not sure, but anyway, you know, Brunson was taking minimal amounts of shots. And I'm like, this is a guy who, you know, the team's here partly because of Brunson and what he could do on the offensive end. So we did see that. He took more shots, scored a bunch of points, as you mentioned. They mixed it around real well when it came to the offensive output for that team. And if I'm Phoenix, you know, again, I always talk about adjustments in games 2 through 4 and then game 5 and so on. Usually the better team wins out. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, so Phoenix saw it. And what they did and what they can do in this game, if they're able to, is let Doncic get his 40. Who cares? Let him take his 28 shots, get his 40, 45 points. Make sure Brunson or one of the other guys doesn't beat you. You know, you can't have a guy scoring 15 points a game score 26, 27 points on top of what Doncic does. Maybe Doncic scores 30, a few less than normal, but other guys get involved. So I'm betting they'll be able to do it. And again, those, you know, the history of what I mentioned with those angles to me is too much for me personally. With total respect to you liking Dallas, but too much for me personally to go against the Phoenix Suns. So for me, it was a play on Phoenix or nothing at all. Now, when I say these things, you've known me for 30 years almost. That doesn't mean that I'm going, hey, no way I can lose. You know, if Dallas wins this game, I'm not going to be shocked. Yeah. They just got to get those other guys like Brunson involved early and keep him involved throughout the basketball game.
Yeah, and let's be clear, we both agree that Phoenix is the better team. They're more likely going to win this series. And if Dallas does win tonight, it's going to be because Phoenix is – is not performing, you know, at their end of, offensively, with Chris Paul having another bad game, or DeAndre Ayton. I mean, it's going to be something of that factor. Because
and TC, by the way, real quick, if Phoenix loses tonight, you know, I know we got to lay some points in Game 7 because they'll be back home, but I'll be on Phoenix in Game 7.
Right, and that's exactly the way I feel about the Warriors tomorrow night. Hey, they had the blowout. I know it's going to be it's a high number. It's -8 tomorrow, Scott, but I'm already kind of leaning towards, you know, laying it with the Warriors in this situation. I just think that they're too prideful, and that crowd will not let them lose a Game 6 because, in effect, really, it's like a Game 7 for the Warriors because they do not want to go back to Memphis for a Game 7. And I can, you know, just see the Warriors responding big time tomorrow. Quick thoughts about both games tomorrow. Let's, since we're talking about the Warrior game, talk about the Warriors. Do you feel comfortable? I know normally you don't like laying those kind of points, laying 8 with the Warriors against Memphis tomorrow.
I do. When it comes to the postseason, the cutoff point really for, you know, playing favorites, if you're looking as far as point spreads making a huge difference, it's 11. So they're inside that number, obviously. The other game, real quick, I'm going to say that I'm just going to kind of wait. I want to see what Robert Williams III, you know, what's going to happen with his knee injury. He's listed as questionable, so I don't even want to commit there because I want to make sure if he's going to play or not. But in that late game, I agree with you. First of all, I'm never shocked by final scores in any sport, but especially in the NBA, including the playoffs. But I was absolutely shocked last night. The first score I saw, I think it was a 52-point lead. I happened to be at the concert last night, and I said with the guy that I was with last night, my buddy, I said, my gosh, I'm glad I'm here instead of watching this, you know, ridiculous. I'm like, how is this possible? And I actually went to multiple apps to see if what I saw on the first app was
right.
When I saw that score. And that was just, you know what, it was a brain freeze by Golden State, and give Memphis a boatload of credit. That is one tough, mentally tough team. But I'm with you. It's either Golden State laying the 8, 8.5, or nothing at all for me in that late game tomorrow.
Bucks, a 1.5 favorite tomorrow night back at Milwaukee. Milwaukee close it out?
Yeah, I'm just going to wait, man. I just don't want to commit because I want to see what's going on with Robert Williams listed as questionable. So I got to wait before I commit on that,
Yeah, all right. And I think the Bucks do close it out tomorrow night. And, again, if the Bucks, it's simple. It seems too simple, but it's like this team hitting the three, they seem unstoppable. Giannis is going to get his, you know, regardless. But if they're not hitting their threes, they can get beat on any given night. It's just, you know, one of those type of teams. And we'll see. But Giannis is a beast. He was phenomenal on the road last night, and to overcome that 14-point deficit was really fun to watch. It was tremendous. A big road victory for the Bucks. All right, he is Scott Spritzer. Of course, you can catch him at DocSports.com. Subscribe to Scott's picks. He's on fire in all sports, and just love having him on as always. Appreciate you, brother. A great follow on Twitter as well too, at Scott Wynn. So check him out there. All right, my man. Enjoy home life tonight, and no psychedelic furs.
Oh, my rear end's glued to the couch tonight. I'll be lucky if I stay up through the basketball game. So, but thanks for having me, TC. Good luck, man.
Take care. Appreciate you. There he is. Scott Spritzer joins us. All right, and I want to thank Brian Salmon for joining us earlier on. Bob Nightingale from the USA Today. Always a pleasure when he joins us. And TJ Reeves from Tampa Bay as well, too. Hitting it all for you. We hit the football. We hit the schedule release. We'll dive into that more tomorrow when we actually have it officially in front of us. So we're not jumping the gun here. And we'll start analyzing that with the quarterback, Jay Schrader, tomorrow at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. So look forward to that. So come on out. Join us tomorrow at the Cosmopolitan. Have a good time with all of that. All right, miss any part of the show, go to the website, tcmartinshow.com. Check out our interview with the big 7-footer, Big Bill Cartwright, as we talked about players and former teammates of his that we talked about in yesterday's show about the bad hygiene. Oh, yeah, classic stuff. Go check that out. We talk about the MVP and the timing that the NBA, you know, is releasing all this, and should it be regular season MVP? Should the playoffs be included? So good conversation there. That's on the website, the featured interview. All the classic interviews are up on there, and you can go to all the past podcasts you want as well, too, at tcmartinshow.com. For Nunchuck, TC saying so long. Have yourself a good one. We'll catch you tomorrow at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas.